are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 Podcast. Today, it is January 10th, 2022, and our show is brought to you all by our friends at Sonos. For an immersive sound experience, check out Sonos today. They've got a whole lot to offer there. Once again, just Google Sonos or search it wherever. You guys will find their website and all of the wonderful sound devices that they have. On today's show, pretty important day, obviously, the national championship happening, but we're going to talk about NFL Black Monday, and with all the coaching firings, could there be potential candidates for NFL jobs amongst Big 12 teams slash future Big 12 teams, and who else in the college ranks could be on their way to the NFL? Also, take a look at some of the latest transfer news, and then we'll wrap up with some hoops talk. We wanted to get to hoops a bit earlier, but with all the football news, you know, we got to put a bow on the football season first. We can really dive into hoops all the way, but we'll have a little bit of hoops today at the end of the show. All right, let's get to it. All right, not video form today, although this is a video being posted on YouTube in addition to our normal places. But today's show, I'm dealing with a dog that has had an upset stomach, so we're just going to watch him carefully. That's why we're not doing a video. We're watching the dog, trying to make sure nothing goes wrong with him. Don't want to interrupt the video as well. The editing could be a little bit extra sometimes. We're just going to post the audio version in video form on YouTube. But yeah, it's been a busy sports weekend with the Big 12 hoops, with the NFL coach firings. But let's start today with some of the most recent transfer news, and some of it came to us today, and things have been developing pretty substantially. But Jackson Dart has entered the transfer portal. He is the USC quarterback, or at least was, kind of taking over for Keaton Slovis later on in the year. This also came off the heels of an earlier announcement today. This was about an hour ago. West Virginia posted this at 1:02 p.m. announcing that Graham Harrell was going to be their offensive coordinator. Now, Brett McMurphy had also said this as well, but that was followed up just after that by the news that Jackson Dart will be transferring. The consensus here, the idea here, is that coming down the line, this kind of clears the runway, if you will, for Caleb Williams to end up at USC. And so I actually saw a tweet today that I had responded to from Parker Thune, and he said, not sure Sooners fans will ever hate anybody the way they hate Lincoln Riley, but there will be some strong distaste for 13, it's Caleb Williams, if this ends the way it looks like it's going to end. Now, he didn't comment on whether that was going to be fair or unfair, the distaste or dislike, and Parker does a good job. He covers football and basketball for 24/7 Sports and also Sports Talk 1400 and 94/7 The Ref. You know, he wasn't saying that it was going to be deserved criticism, but I have a tough time seeing it that way. I think if you're going to be angry and upset, you should be angry and upset with Lincoln Riley and with the way that he left. And for me, the part that was frustrating was I wouldn't be happy about was the, I'm not going to be the next head coach at LSU. Just it's like, well, I wasn't lying, but the whole premise, everybody being upset, is he's leaving, right? It's not really about where he was going. It is in some respects, but really it's, you know, they say, I'm not going to LSU. I'm going to USC, actually. That's the part I think really frustrated everybody with the way that it happened and threw things, for at least Oklahoma, for a loop for a bit. Now, I think they're in a good spot in the future with Brent Venables and right now Jeff Lebby and the way they've really rebuilt that class and whatnot. But the thing we were waiting on was Caleb Williams. We saw him hit the portal, and now we have this piece of news with Jackson Dart and also Graham Harrell as well. Graham Harrell first going to West Virginia does not mean Jackson Dart is going to West Virginia, but that is the situation right now. It looks like Caleb Williams could be going. And look, the Caleb Williams part of this too, you know, the Lincoln Riley thing, I get. But Caleb, he committed to play for Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. And as much as we'd like to believe that somebody's committing to a school and not a coach, and some kids do, some kids it's both. Some kids could be one or the other. You know, there is some wiggle room in that regard. But for him to commit to a coach, have that coach leave, he stuck it out for the short term. He played the bowl game. You know, he stuck with his teammates. He was in practice. He was coached up that week, and by all accounts, weeks, I should say, coached pretty hard as well and played a great game. But after it was over, he listened to the, I'm sure during it too, listened to what the new coach and the coaching staff had to say to him, and ultimately decided to enter the transfer portal, and now is probably going to ultimately decide to rejoin the guy that he originally committed to playing for. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think nobody should be upset with that. Obviously, it's tough to see a player of that caliber leave your school. It's going to be upsetting, but you can't be too mad at the kid for going and finding a good situation in the end of the day. And also, look, hey, Caleb Williams left, but Dylan Gabriel is coming in. That's a pretty decent hire if you are the likes of Oklahoma, or decent hire, say, decent get if you're Oklahoma. And so you can't be too upset about the situation as a whole. You're losing a great player, yes, but still, you're managing to find one of the best transfer quarterbacks on the market, and all things considered, you should be okay moving forward. Now, I know that doesn't make the sting any less. I know that's still there, but there is some solace in that. So it sounds like, you know, off the top here, the news is things are getting cleared up for him to land at USC. Not official just yet, with Dart in the portal, could be very likely. Also, something to mention here, a couple things to mention, I should say. Casey Thompson is committing to Nebraska, which I thought was a very interesting choice by Casey. You know, this was somebody that we thought would maybe be in the mix at Oklahoma, but that was not the case. So he ends up deciding to go to Nebraska. Ironically enough, Nebraska is going to send over their quarterback, not to Texas, but still to a Big 12 school. So Martinez goes to Kansas State. Thompson goes to Nebraska. I think Casey's a really good player. I think there were better situations out there than Nebraska. I'll be pretty honest about that. I think there are some places where it's a little bit easier to win. Now, he's going to play at Nebraska. I believe that is definitely going to be the situation there for him. But yeah, I think this is an interesting choice. We'll see how it plays out. But Scott Frost needs to make something happen next year. He is squarely on the hot seat. And so he gets a player in Casey Thompson. He's hoping can make some moves for him. Winston Wright from West Virginia, the wide receiver, is going to Florida State. That's a great get for FSU. He is a very strong weapon. Also a Savannah, Georgia native. So that's going to allow him to go closer to home. But wasn't a guy who was super highly recruited, Winston Wright. And so for him to have a nice season that he had, and also, you know, really good special teams player as well, for him to have those that kind of season and to be able now to look ahead to his future and go to FSU, you're glad for him. But for West Virginia, such a crushing loss. And they're having to replace a whole lot in the offensive side of things. Let's see what Graham Harrell and Neil Brown can kind of do in that regard. I think they'll hit the portal, but the quarterback situation is yet to be seen. Running back, we'll see what they do there. Hopefully the offensive line can get some stability too, because that's been a group. We talked about it on Friday with Mike Azaza. They've had some challenges. So Winston Wright leaving for Florida State, rather, from West Virginia is a big piece of news also. All right, quick break. When we come back, let's hit on some of the Black Monday firings that we have seen across the league right now in the NFL, whether or not they could affect college football. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. You guys can go to built.com today. That's built.com. And when you enter the promo code LOCKED15, 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 you get 15% off your next purchase. They've got plenty of delicious flavors available. They've got coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, salted caramel, mint brownie as well, and many more. They're constantly adding new flavors. Once again, promo code LOCKED15, 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 for 15% off at built.com today. All right, so it is Black Monday in the NFL. That means that they fire coaches on this day. Some coaches have been fired before, like our good friend Urban Meyer. The teams that made the moves today, the Bears have released Matt Nagy. The Vikings are firing Mike Zimmer and also their GM as well. And then the Dolphins are going to, they have fired Brian Flores, which was the most shocking move of them all. It appears Flores is going to be a top candidate for several jobs, but there has to be some looking at the college ranks to think about the guys that might be on their way to the next level. Now, the first name that's come to mind as of late has got to be Jim Harbaugh. He is the one that people have been talking about the most just because the rumor came up recently about, hey, is there any chance that he would like to go to the next level, right? Is there any, there's some thought that he'd like to, and he's put it out there. He got over the hump this year at Michigan and then got to see maybe how big that gap, and we should call it a gap, it is a chasm between the likes of Michigan and a Georgia, or maybe even an Alabama if they play, we don't know, how big that gap actually might be. And so he might say, all right, I've kind of done what I can do. It'd take a lot longer to build this thing to a national title winner. But, you know, this may be the moment where he takes off. Now, it also could be the moment where he decides to, you know, get some money back, and especially some of the money that he lost last season after he took that pay cut. But I think he is going to be in consideration for sure. Ryan Day is going to be in consideration for sure. Reuniting him with Justin Fields, it feels like it's something that's possible, especially with the Bears. So those couple names that you're going to see from the college ranks that will be listed. Also, I think we're going to see Matt Campbell's name out there. He was offered two college NFL jobs, I should say, last season. Turned them both down. This feels like it's the right time. Although he's got no NFL head coaching experience, this could be the right time for him to consider moving on right now. But I don't. This feels less likely this season than it did last year. I really felt like there's a good chance that he was going to move on last season. But I don't know. David Shaw always gets his name tossed in there. And then somebody else, Luke Fickell, is somebody to look at. But Luke Fickell, much like Matt Campbell, does not have any NFL experience. And I think for a lot of the jobs involving teams, involving some of the teams, it feels like the NFL type hire could be a bit safer. Minnesota, you know, that's a situation where I think they felt like the NFL type hire worked for them at times. It didn't. I mean, they've been I feel like they were a dark horse candidate to be in the playoffs, or people, you know, said Super Bowl dark horse candidate for a long time, and things just didn't work out for them. So maybe a different kind of coach from the same part of the country might be in order for them. You know, would it be a Ryan Day? Although it feels like the NFL is going to be that direction. Would it be a Jim Harbaugh? You know, could it be a Luke Fickell? Could it be a Matt Campbell? Could it be a David Shaw? Right, somebody from the college ranks. Could it be one of those guys? I don't know. Also, it still kind of feels like Joe Brady is a bit of a college guy. I don't know if he gets any NFL looks, but it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. And we saw what happened with Joe Brady. We saw what happened with Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury was fired with his job at Texas Tech. And then he, you know, ultimately moves on and goes to the Arizona Cardinals. And there's some questions about how good of a job he's doing right now and whether or not the Cardinals could take the next step with the talented roster they have if they had a different coach. But still, they're winning a lot of football games there in Arizona right now. So, those are the considerations, and he is more of a laid-back guy. I think the one prototype of NFL coach that we know that we're not going to see is the authoritarian college coach, because that does not translate. Chip Kelly had a little bit of success, but not enough to justify it. Nick Saban, not success. Urban Meyer, complete abject disaster. Matt Rule, having a tough time right now. Cliff, a little bit better, but somebody with kind of the more, you know, there's still some questions there, and he's got the offensive mind I think people are gunning for right now. And those things can work, but they're just a question of how long they can work. But I feel like the authoritarian thing is something we have to consider, because the authoritarian model is just time and time again, it's not working. And part of being an NFL coach, as we've come to see, is managing personalities and how you do it. And there is a tightrope you have to walk. And look, these guys are professionals. They're not, you know, they're not recruiting nicely enough for you as a coach. You don't have to go out and recruit these kids, but also you got to treat them like professionals. And some of them make more money than you. And that is a huge factor in coaching. And that was something that I feel like guys like Saban, guys like Urban, guys like Chip Kelly had a difficult time grasping. Matt Rule seems to be liked by his players. He's always been pretty honest, and that's something that is there. He's got to turn that thing around, turn it around fast. But he's going to remain in the NFL ranks for right now. So, you know, how are the more player-friendly college coaches? Because those guys get along in the NFL. But there's plenty of job openings. We saw Denver's opened up on Sunday. There are some questions about, are any of the other ones going to open up, right? There's a question about Rich Bisaccia in Las Vegas. Okay, do you feel like Rich has done a good enough job to keep the job? You know, I think he has, but do you want to use crisis management for Bisaccia as a justification for hiring him for the future, right? When you're hopefully not in crisis mode as much anymore. Could Vegas be a spot for a college coach? That'd be interesting. I think you'd probably want somebody with a bit more NFL experience, but I think at this point in time, it feels like Bisaccia is going to end up getting that job. So there's a variety of directions, but I think some of these teams should still call Matt Campbell. I think some of these teams should still call, Ryan Day, I think, is definitely going to at least have the conversation with the Bears. We'll see what happens with Harbaugh. Had a lot of success, you know, close in a Super Bowl against his brother a few years back. I was surprised the Giants did not make a move. Now, whether that's a location for a college coach right now, that remains to be seen. But look, the two NFL teams did offer Matt Campbell last year. So it's not off the table, right? Not off the table. It feels like the hot name right now is going to be Ryan Day. And because of Harbaugh's interest, he'll be right up there at number two. But Bears and Day feels like it's got the most smoke. Harbaugh to a variety of locations. I think Bears got the first link just because it's the geographical kind of location is number two. But you got to think, hey, an offer was made beforehand by two schools, or by two clubs, I should say, to Matt Campbell, and he turned two down. Will there be a second helping? And also, I don't think the 7-5 takes any shine off him as a candidate. Like, I think the idea of developing talent, getting the most out of your guys, is something that is what people find attractive. They find attractive that he's a younger guy, that he is a very passionate guy. He's like this mixture of, doesn't really freak out in the press conferences. He's not Dabo Sweeney in press conferences, but he is very animated on the field, a very intelligent guy in the press conferences, very animated and can really get after it on the field sometimes. So kind of in between, has the excitement, I would say, in the right place, if you're looking to put it that way. But yeah, they will be candidates. And Luke Fickell's way down the list. I think he's still sticking at Cincinnati for right now. I think the more likely scenario out of all of this is that a college job opens up and Matt Campbell and Luke Fickell become two of the main candidates for jobs, because if it's Michigan, if it's Ohio State, I think Ohio State is going to call Luke Fickell. If it's Michigan, I think Michigan's going to call both Luke Fickell and Matt Campbell. I think both of those guys are going to get some rub, going to get some consideration, going to get some thought for those positions. That's something to watch as we move forward here into the coming weeks, I should say. All right, one more break from our sponsors and a look back very quickly on this weekend in Big 12 hoops. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by our friends from Get Upside. We all know paying at the pump right now is not a very fun experience, but Get Upside will help you save today. You can get up to 25 cents off per gallon right now. Download the Get Upside app, use the promo code SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, SCORE, and you can get an extra 25 cents, up to 50 cents cash back on your first time at the pump after you download the app and use the promo code SCORE. Then after that, you can get up to 25 cents off per gallon. You can just cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon or other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use the promo code SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's promo code SCORE with Get Upside today. All right, so it was a busy weekend in Big 12 hoops. We had five games going on, and four schools, were on the road that were top 15 teams across the conference, and a few of them got upset. Let's start with the number one team in the country, Baylor. It was dicey there for a little bit, but they ended up pulling away. Their quality continues to show. They go on the road and shoot 53% from the floor, 48 from three. Flagler goes 8 for 13, 6 of 10 from deep with 22 points. James Akinjo goes for 22 and 8. He continues to be the engine that makes things go, and LJ Cryer has 15 points as well for the Baylor Bears. I thought it was a pretty good fight from TCU. They're just not there yet. Mike Miles puts up 26-5, but it was a good effort. They were keeping this thing close. Baylor just kind of pulled away later on in the game, but I think it was a good sign for TCU. They got to make sure this result doesn't knock off their momentum. Texas Tech 75, Kansas 67. The Jayhawks take their first loss in Big 12 play, and it's their first loss since their loss to Dayton earlier in the season. What was the key in this game? Well, I thought Texas Tech did a great job on defense. They did a really good job of, I thought, on the perimeter, at least in this game. 10 for 26 from three were the Jayhawks from deep. And also they had 17 turnovers, and it felt like Texas Tech did a good job of cashing in off of those turnovers in many spots. Bryson Williams, the senior, has one of his best games as a Texas Tech Red Raider with 22 points on 9 of 13 shooting to go with 8 rebounds and 3 assists. He was really the one that led the way, and Texas Tech goes 4 for 16 from deep, but they shoot 51% from the floor in this game, and the thing that's got to be figured out for Kansas moving forward is things in the interior. But Mark Adams kind of picking up right where Chris Beard left off in terms of getting transfers. I mean, getting a guy in Bryson Williams who spent 2 years at Fresno, 2 years at UTEP, and then bringing him in, and he's having a huge impact. And I thought this was a win that Texas Tech really actually needed to have, because if you look through their early season schedule, they have had some success, but they have not had success against the really good teams on their schedule. Wins against UNF, Grambling, Prairie View, Incarnate Word, Omaha, Lamar. Losses to Providence, which is a very good team, only by 4. They get the win against Tennessee in a really awful game. So there's your kind of quality win from the non-con. Then win over Arkansas State, a loss against Gonzaga, which didn't feel that close. Wins against Eastern Washington and Alabama State. They had the game against Oklahoma State, PPD. But they take that loss against Iowa State, too, right after that. And so you're saying, all right, in their games against what are now top 25 opponents, Providence is top 25 now, Tennessee, Gonzaga, and Iowa State, they were 1-3 going into the game. They come out of this, it's another good win for them. So Mark Adams' group showing some mox, showing some poise, and also showing that United Supermarkets Arena is going to continue to be a difficult place to come in and win basketball games this season. This happened later on in the evening. Oklahoma, 79. Iowa State, 66. There were a whole lot of runs in this game. This was just fun basketball, teams putting together runs, but I think this is the problem for Iowa State. Now, they're 13-2, they're 1-2 in the conference, they've had difficult games so far. They've had to play Texas Tech, Baylor, and Oklahoma on the road. They hung tough in this game, but Oklahoma got it going late. They really are growing as this season has begun. You can tell they're playing better together, and this is a group with a new coach. They've got holdovers from last year in Jalen Hill and then Elijah Harkless and Emoja Gibson. But then you bring in guys like Jordan Goldwire, and you bring in guys like Tanner Groves and the other Groves brother as well. And so you got to make these things go together. One of the benefits Porter Mosier had a lot of the time when he was at Loyola Chicago was that there was a bit more continuity with those mid-major teams. And some of those guys lose some of your better players oftentimes in those teams, but he did have a lot of continuity. It felt like guys who knew how to play together, and that was one of his benefits, that, you know, the things that he benefited from. But that being said, you can't take away the job that he's done so far this season and making these guys mesh, and he's showing what a quality coach he is. I think TJ Otzelberger and Iowa State will be fine. I just think they had a really difficult start to the schedule. I think that's the big thing for them. But this is a great win for Oklahoma, and we got the latest rankings today for college hoops. It just came out a couple hours before I'm recording this, and Oklahoma right now is right at 26. They're not in the top 25 yet, but they are the team that's receiving the most votes that is not in the top 25. So I think it's safe to say we're going to see the Sooners make their way into the top 25 here before too long. Oklahoma State gets a really good win at home against Texas, 64-51. Their defense is on point. Texas didn't shoot the ball particularly well, though, in this game. And I'm just really happy for Mike Boyden and his team, because they needed this. things have been up and down with them, especially dealing with the situation of dealing with the NCAA. So to get a 13-point win at Texas against a top 15 team at home, I'm glad for them. Texas clearly still so much to work on, getting a group of that many guys to back together to work. And then West Virginia rallies past Kansas State 71-68. Now, Kansas State's 0-3 in the conference, but they've showed a lot, I think a lot so far, in my opinion. They don't have a whole lot of depth. Sean McNeil gets red hot in this game, goes for 26 points. He helped them with that comeback, but they were down 13 at the half, and I think it was close to 20 at one point. I think it was in this game, but for them to rally in the way they did, significant for West Virginia. This team kind of asleep at the wheel at home and then got it going. And a big thing that West Virginia did in this game was get into the foul line, making their free throws. They shot 17 free throws. Kansas State only shot 7. That's also one thing that Oklahoma did a great job of against Iowa State. It's not a great percentage for them from the floor, but they were able to get the line, convert there. Taz Sherman has an okay night of 5-13 shooting, but Sean McNeil was a real star. 26 points for him. West Virginia gets 12-2, 1-1 in conference. Kansas State's decent, though. I know they're 0-3 in conference, but they played at OU, Texas, and then at West Virginia. Think it's still a very good basketball team. I really do. They had some close calls this year. They had played a really good game against Arkansas, I thought. A good game against Illinois, I thought. They beat Wichita on the road. Marquette, they came so close to beating when they were at home. Had a really close loss, narrow loss against Oklahoma. The game against Texas, you know, ends up not being too competitive late, and this game was competitive late. It kind of blew the big lead. This team is growing and getting better. There's no doubt that Kansas State is much, much better positioned than they were last year because it was rough for them at the end of the season. All right, make sure you follow us on Twitter, or all season, I should say. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LOBig12. You can follow me at Josh Neighbors_. Till next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.